morning, we have Dr. Bob Harrison this morning. Amen. And if you guys could stand with me and just give him a warm welcome as he comes up this morning.
Come on. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. Now, stay standing for just a moment. We're going to do something together while you're standing. You know, we're going to do a little exercise. Yes. You know, I don't think we realize the benefits of exercise. I went to my doctor a while ago, and he said, Bob, if you would exercise regularly, it would add 10 years to your life. And that's been only 3 years ago, and I already feel 10 years older. But when you travel such as I do, you have to be real innovative in your exercise. One of the things I've tried to do on the road is every day I try to run around the block 3 to 4 times and then put the block back under the bed. But when I get home, you know, you get out of the routine. It's easy, you know, to not do it. And somebody said, Bob, if you get a dog, that would help you to exercise. You'd have to take the dog for a walk. Yeah. So I got a dog, and I named my dog 3 Miles. I know that seems unusual, but that way I can travel all over the world and tell people that every day I walk 3 miles. Yeah. But we're going to do a verbal exercise. Here's what we're going to do. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to find 3 people and make a confession to them. Joel Osteen recently said, God did not create you to be average.
Oh, amen.
Think of this. He created you for greatness. Yes. But in order to experience that greatness, you have to speak faith-filled words. Yes. See, well, most people are talking about disasters and the negatives and everything that's wrong. You instead talk about what you're believing for. Your blessings, God's power in your life. Talk about increase. Because your words literally create the world that you walk into. I remember I was with Kenneth Hagin one time. I served on their board for 29 years. And he was talking about, in the early years of ministry, they couldn't afford to stay in hotels. And so they stayed in pastors' homes. And he said they arrived at this one pastor's home. And when they went in, he turned to his wife and he said, they've just had a fight. He could tell by the invisible atmosphere in the room that there was strife there, not love there. In other words, he walked into that environment. What environment do you walk into? See, walk into an environment of increase and creativity will come into your life. Ideas will come, strategies will come. And how do you do it? You create it with your words. Let's do that this morning. I want you to find 3 people, and I just want you to say, I'm ready for fresh increase. I'm ready for fresh increase. I'm ready for fresh increase. Ready for fresh increase. Yeah. Thank you so much. You can be seated. So I know some of you were here when I was here, I don't know, 3-4 years ago. And many of you, you know, this is my first time. So maybe just a quick little background of Bob Harrison, only in the sense of that way you could know how, where I come from and a little bit about how I present. I come out of the business world, 16 years in the automobile business in Southern California. God literally changed my life one day. I took a car into service at a dealership on the day they decided to close it. And because I was successful, when they were failing, the owner offered me the opportunity to try and save his business. And we came in because God gave us some principles. We not only saved the dealership, but it skyrocketed to the top 10 in Southern California in 90 days. And that launched me into the speaking arena. And after a period of time, I realized that was the call of God on my life. And we've traveled around the world. We sold over 1 million audio programs. I speak extensively in the secular world, sometimes doing seminars, 20 and 30,000 people. I've had on a national program on Trinity Broadcasting. We do an event in Hawaii every year, specifically for leaders. And this year will be our 36th annual Hawaii event. And invite you, if you'd like to take a vacation learning experience, that's what it's designed for. We do 4 to 7 speakers a day, and you're done at 1 o'clock. So you get a time to learn, a time to fellowship, a time to enjoy Hawaii. And so it's just nothing like it this year. We're going to be at the Ritz-Carlton in Maui, and we got the rooms for half price. So now's the time to come enjoy the Ritz-Carlton. And so if you want to get that, that's available. What is increase? Increase is not a teaching about how to make more money or get more money. Increase is a teaching about how to change how we process information input, how to change how we process what we hear and what we see. When we change how we interpret something, we change how we react to it and how we feel to it. It's entirely possible that somebody could hear the same word we hear. They hear the word, it's a negative. We hear the word, it's a positive. Because prior to hearing the word, we're preconditioned to our interpretation of that word. I'll give you an example. I shared earlier service, but a word that for most people is negative and deals with uncertainty is the word oversold. If you're ready to get on an airplane and you hear an announcement that the plane is oversold, most people, what they think, oh my goodness, you know, am I going to have a seat? You know, is there going to be a confusion? And if you're flying on United, are they going to drag me off the plane? I mean, you don't know how to react. But see, to an increase thinker, the word oversold has a totally different meaning. The word oversold means the airline is going to give away money. So when other people are thinking fear or confusion, we're thinking blessing. When they're thinking, what are we going to do? We already know what we're going to do. We're going to be ready to receive. And so that's a good example. When you catch, I'll share this with you. I'm at LAX. I'm going to do a conference in Kauai with Jensen Franklin and the Hudsons, Katy Perry's parents who are in ministry. And it was a horrible schedule because we had to leave LA at 5. We had to get to Kauai at 7:30. We had to go to another terminal, catch a 9 o'clock plane to Kauai. Then at 9:30, we'd arrive to Kauai, get our luggage, check in, get to our room at 11 o'clock. That doesn't sound too bad, except if you left the Midwest, that's 3 a.m. And we didn't want that flight, but it's what we had to take. And so I looked around at LA and I said, this area is full. This plane could be oversold. And so opportunity comes, success, Zig Ziglar, who I traveled with for 20 years, made a statement. He said, success is when opportunity and preparation meet. So many times we're not getting success because we're not prepared. So when I think there's an opportunity, I get prepared. So I said, if they're oversold, I want the money. So I walked over and stood by where the guy was going to make the announcement. That's where I'm first in line. So while other people are thinking about it, I'm handing that out my hand, you know. And so they announced, of course, the plane was oversold. I was right. And so I said, here I am, right here. And so the guy said, okay. He said, I said, what are you offering? He said, we'll give you $500 each and put you on the flight in 2 hours. I'm just curious, how many would wait 2 hours for a flight for $1,000? I mean, okay. Particularly if the ticket cost you less than $500. Yeah. And so I said, okay. So then I said, but wait a minute, that's going to get us too late to do our connecting flight. So he said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I'll put you up in a hotel in L.A. and you can take the morning flight. So I said, okay, what did he just say? I'm going to give you more money. Because I canceled the plane room in Hawaii and I got a room in L.A. that they paid for. I'm on a roll. Then I said to him, wait a minute. Why should I take your 9 o'clock plane to Honolulu connecting to Kauai when at 9:30 you fly nonstop to Kauai? He said, I checked on that, but we only have first class seats in that flight. I said, that's fine. So, see, when you have that thinking, different opportunities will come to you. Increase will also give you longevity and health to your life. Do we have a picture of that of my mother on her 90th birthday? I want to show you a picture of my mom on her 90th birthday. Do we have that available or not? Huh? You have to find it. It should be the next one in the gold dress. No? I can go on if we don't have it. Oh, that's my mom on her 90th birthday. We threw a celebration for my mom. We were having a conference in Fort Lauderdale. And so what we decided to do, we decided to do a birthday party for her. So we threw a birthday party. We ended with this big cake coming out. Should we show the next one? That's this big cake coming out. See the 90 for my 90th birthday party? We had a musical number. And the people are singing happy birthday, waiting for mom to walk on stage. And she pops out of the cake. It was wonderful. Yeah. And show the next picture. This is what my mom did to celebrate her 90th birthday. We swam 90 laps in the pool together. At the age of 90, my mom was swimming 30 laps three times a week, driving around Laguna Beach in a convertible. See, so increase is not just about money. See, increase is about relationships. It's about healthy marriage. Increase is about having longevity and health to your life. And so we're going to share with you today an increase principle that I believe could really impact you. Before we get to that, let me just mention a couple of things. First of all, our ministry not only puts on the five-day event in Hawaii every March, but each fall we do a two-day leadership conference, and we alternate that between Florida and California. And this year it's going to be in Florida. And we normally do it down in Naples, but thank goodness I had the wisdom not to book Naples this year. And so we're doing it in Orlando at the beautiful Hyatt Grand Cypress. And it's going to be the last Friday and Saturday of October. And so if you'd like to come, this church qualifies for the group discount, which is half price registration. We have some great speakers there. We have Simon T. Bailey, former creative director of Disney. He gets paid $20,000 a weekend for speaking. And because our ministry has impacted him, he's just coming and seating and helping and blessing the leaders. We have America's Confidence Coach coming. We have just some tremendous people that are going to be speaking. And so if you want to get information on it, we have it available back there at the table. That's October 27, 28, I think it is, whatever that Friday and Saturday is. Love to have you join us. Other thing is, at the end of the meeting today, Josh is going to be receiving, or we're going to be receiving an offering for our ministry. This offering today does not go to me. I am seeding this day into your lives. But this offering is to help us to take this message and impact countries around the world. We just got back in July from an incredible experience. One of the young people who, as a teenager, got a hold of this increased thinking, started a missionary organization, and now he is literally impacting nations. We just got back from Nicaragua. They had 3,000 missionaries, came on 13 chartered planes to impact that country, 300 medical and dental professionals. And at the national news conference, he asked me to come. And when he went to introduce me, he said to the press, the national press, he said, "The person you're going to hear from," he said, "without his teaching, this event would not take place, because his teaching is what changed my life and caused me to think big." See, that's what you help us to do, to take this kind of teaching and literally impact nations. If you feel impressed to help us in a special way, I have a gift I want to give you. One of my very best friends who spoke for us 13 different times at our events was the greatest teacher on leaders I've ever heard in my life. And he tragically died 2 years ago in a plane crash, Miles Monroe. And we put together all 13 of his teaching on leadership: managing your vision, capacity leadership, personal leadership, genuine leadership, mindset of leadership, misconceptions of leadership, 13 different teachings on leadership. And we sell it on our website for $195. But I want to give it away free to anybody today that feels to plant a $100 seed and to help us with this ministry. And so I have it back at the table, just at the second offering. Put it in the offering or come back there and we'll have it for you. Thank you so much. And so that's going to be our gift to you, just to say thank you for helping us to take this message around the world. I want to share with you today a story of accelerated increase. See, increase oftentimes is a process. We change how we think, we change what we listen to, we change where we live, or we change our job, or we change our church. And as a result of those changes, it causes us to think bigger and to dream bigger and bigger things to happen. But increase can happen quickly. And it can happen quickly by an experience that takes place or a teaching that we hear. And in Luke, the fifth chapter, is one of the greatest stories of rapid increase, accelerated change. And we find it, let me generalize the story and then I'll read the text. We find these business people, these people that knew what to do, how to be successful, is what they did for a living. And in fact, they were so successful, they owned their own boat. So it tells us there's an element that they knew. They were successful already. But they had their worst fishing disaster. It said they fished all night and caught nothing. And they had an encounter with Jesus, who told them to go out and take the boats out again and make some changes. And as a result, they had the greatest catch of their life. In the same 24-hour period, they had their worst failure. They had their greatest success. That's what I call accelerated increase. And so let's look at the text. It's going to be Luke, the 5th chapter. You might want to read it on your own later on, or you could turn to it now. Luke, the 5th chapter. And it says, "And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. And Simon answered and said, Master, we have fished all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, we will do what you say, or we will let down the net. And when they had thus done," now I want you to catch this, it's not my teacher today, "nothing changed when they committed. It only changed when they did it. Intentions will never change your life. It's following through in those intentions that will change your life. When they had thus done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, so much so that the nets began to break. And they beckoned unto their partners in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so much so that they began to sink." This story is not just a story about sudden, quick, accelerated increase. This story is also a story of the reason for increase. There's a saying I teach in the seminars, and it's this: the person that knows how will normally have a job. The person that knows why will normally be the boss or the owner. When you know the why of something, you can apply it into other areas. When you know the why of something, you can go into a leadership role. And so I always ask myself, why? Why, why? Why does God want you to have increase? Well, one reason, you're his kids. You know, I can't remember the last time I talked to a parent, and they said, yes, we're raising our kids so they have a harder time than we had. We wanted to have a rough, no, we're raising our kids to have a better education. Anyway, well, our Father thinks the same way. So because we're his kids, he wants us to have increase. But not just that. He wants us to have increase so we can have a better life. See, when you have increase, it's not just that you can get more, but a side effect of increase is you get freedom. Because when you have excess, then you have the ability to take off. Money doesn't dominate you anymore. You get a freedom from it. And you can do things that other people couldn't do. When my first wife died, and I was going through just an unbelievable grief and wanting to pull back from the road, I had one of my partners said, Bob, he said, you've got this booking this conference in Portugal in 2 weeks. Well, first of all, he took off and stayed with me all the way through the memorial service, all the way to the planning, and for a week afterwards, helping me get through that rough time. Then he said, if you don't want to cancel the meeting in Portugal and you want to do it, I'll fly with you. And he bought his own business class ticket and traveled with me to Europe for a week so I could move on with my life and still minister to people. He could only do that. Why? Because when he was a plumber, he got a hold of this teaching. Amen. And it began to free him. Now he owns 800 apartments, and he gets money even if he's not working. Amen. Why? Because, see, money gave him freedom. But so, the second thing, it gives you freedom. But the third thing is, increase gives you a purpose. I want you to notice it in this story. When these guys caught these fish and their boats in danger of sinking, the natural inclination is get the boat to shore. We got to save the boat. We got to save our lives. We got to sell the fish. But that isn't what they did. What did they do? They looked around and found a second boat. They called that boat over, and now two boats are full and not one. And in that we find the purpose of increase. God wants you to increase because there's empty boats in your future. And it's only if you experience increase you can make a difference in their life. Now, mind you, if you have an empty boat, you can still go over and give them love. You can give them compassion. You can hug them. You can sympathize for them. You can try and encourage them. But you can't change their circumstances if your boat is empty. But if you have a full boat, now you can do all of those things, but you can say, let me bless you. Let me help you. Let me make a difference. Let me get you through, help you get through this hard time. Because you now have the resources to do it. But see, our mind can play games with this. And we say, I'm barely making it now. And you're telling me I need to think about being a blessing to others when I barely can make it. No, I'm telling you how to get more. Because the Bible says he gives seed to the sower. Now, all recipes not only tell you the ingredients, there's an order that you have to make the recipes work. If you do the right ingredients but do them in the wrong order, how many of you know the cake or the cookies, whatever, isn't going to come out right? So you have to not just have the ingredients. There's an order to this formula. It says, I will give seed to the sower. In other words, when we make a decision that we're going to focus our life on being a blessing, God looks down and says, there's somebody I can trust. There's somebody that's focusing on making a difference in the lives of other people. Bless that person because they're going to keep the flow going. They've got a hold of the purpose of increase. That's why I would say if you're struggling today financially, one of the greatest things you can do, start finding places you can give. Give of your time, give of your resources or your money, whatever. Just start thinking in terms of what can I do to help others? What can I do to bless others? Maybe it's just a smile. When I checked into the Marriott last night, the girl was going off of her 8-hour shift. She turned to me and I just was telling her I appreciate how she's taking care of me and her attitude. She said, I want you to know you're the best person that's been here today. You've made my day. See, I gave her something. I gave her joy. Just start thinking in terms of what can I do to bless people? What can I do to make a life in other people? And when you do that, there's a blessing formula that's going to start working in your life. He gives seed to the sower. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. I don't know how many of you are with us when we did the seminar here, three, 4 years ago on the Sunday night? And I shared, remember some of the things I did to turn around that dealership? And I said, one of the things I did on the very first week. Now, think of this. I'm taking over a business that has 100 of the year-old models still in stock, and it's January of the next year, that the good salespeople have left, and it's out of money. What do you do to turn that business around? That very first week, I called my pastor and said, I want to give you a free car to drive. Why would I do that when we're out of money and we're in danger of going under, and I'm giving a car away? Because I realized that what I sowed is what I reaped. And so I had to sow the thing I wanted to reap. So I'm not sharing with you something I learned in Bible school. I'm sharing with you the way I lived in business. And the way I live now and the reason there's such blessings into my life is because I've learned that if I keep this thing going, if I keep giving, there's a law of exchange that's working in my life. So the first key I want to share with you today is get that law working. Find every way you can to be a blessing. Give away smiles. Give away, you know, whatever you can. If you're in line and the person looks like they have a need, you know, or they don't have enough food stamps, buy their groceries, whatever it might be. Amen. Start making a difference in the lives of other people. The second thing I want you to catch today out of this, it's really foundational. And this one is going to make some of you a little bit uncomfortable. But without discomfort, we don't grow. Yeah. You know, when I was small and my feet started hurting in my shoes, it didn't mean there was something wrong with my feet. It meant I was growing. I had to get bigger shoes. Yeah. So discomfort is not necessarily negative. It could be a sign of growth. But the second thing I want you to catch is Jesus' reaction to their lack. This is foundational to the increase message, if it's Bible-based. I want you to notice actually how Jesus did not react. He did not react how religious tradition would say he would react. He did not deny that they had empty nets. He didn't say ignore it and pretend it doesn't exist. He acknowledged that they had the empty nets, but then he told them a way to get rid of the empty nets. Faith is not denying you have a problem. Faith is believing that there's a power greater than the problem that you have. So he saw their empty nets, and he said, I want you to go back out, and there's net breaking, boat sinking increase for you. He did not say, Oh, this is good because, see, when you have empty nets, you'll have greater compassion for hurting people. You'll develop a greater caring attitude. No, he said, you might be there, but I don't want you to stay there. And this is not unusual. If don't accept or reject what I'm saying today because I'm saying it. Just go on your own and look at the Bible, the four Gospels. Do what I did. Examine only the miracles that relate to substance, to lack. Just look at those miracles, of Jesus' miracles, and you'll find every single miracle, every single time Jesus came into a situation where there was lack, he never left till the lack left. Think of that. What was the first miracle? Water into wine. That wouldn't be the one I'd pick as the first one, except that it showed his character. Bring me emptiness, bring me lack, and I won't leave until the lack is gone. They didn't have tax money. What did he do? Catch a fish and there's the tax money. They didn't have food to feed the 5,000 men plus women and children. What did he do? Multiplied the loaves and the fishes. They said, we fished all night, we didn't catch anything. What did he do? He told them where to go catch net breaking, boat sinking, increase. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you're in a situation of emptiness, he does not want you to stay there. He is the God of increase. His name is not El Cheapo. His name is El Shaddai. And when you recognize that he is the God, and by the way, in Oklahoma, we don't have front license plates. We only have rear. So my front license plate is El Shaddai. That's what I advertise wherever I go. He is the God of more than enough. Oh, by the way, let me just do a side story. This will shock some of you, and I don't know if you're ready for it. I might disconnect with some of you now. I love having El Shaddai on the front of the cars and, you know, advertising our belief. But too often it's on the broken down vans that, you know, need to be, you know, should be junked and they can't keep going. You know, you see that? I just said, you know, if we advertise God, we should advertise it on something nice. Yes. I spent my time in the business world giving cars and giving, I gave the Ramos Singers their very first van when they got started back in the early 1970s, early 1980s. You know, that just was my life. And I still reap on the harvest of that. Amen. I had one of our partners whose life totally was changed and transformed because of this ministry. Had a bonanza day where he made $9 million in one day. And he said, I want to thank you. And he gave me a bright red Bentley 12-cylinder GT. That's what El Shaddai is on the front of where I drive around. He is the God of more than enough. I mean, think about it. How long would it take me to save up for a Bentley? I don't even think I'd do it. It wouldn't be in my priorities. But I'm driving one. Why pay for one when you can get one free? Yeah. I don't know. Do we have a loose picture of the car there way at the end? If we do, just put it up. If we don't, it's wrong. Way at the end? You can't move it. Okay, it's all right. It doesn't matter. All right. I'll just take my word for it. Okay. So number two. His name is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. And the third thing I wanted to catch today, and this is right where you're living. It's one thing to recognize him as El Shaddai. It's another thing to grab a hold of that and do something about it. See, their challenge was they were suffering from a disease called myopia. If you're not familiar with it, myopia is a visual disease. It's where you see things clearly that are close, but you can't see things clearly far off. What did they see clearly close? Empty nets. What did Jesus have to change their focus to? Net breaking, boat sinking, increase. He had to change what they saw. He had to change what they thought. He had to change what they believed. Because, see, they were getting ready to accept empty nets. And that's the challenge that we face. We downsize and begin to accept where we are. And we make that temporary situation our new permanent. It's kind of like the guy went to the fortune teller. And he said, can you tell me how my life's going to be the next 2 years? And the fortune teller said, oh boy, he said, you're going to be broken miserable for the next 2 years. He said, boy, that's not good. He said, how about after 2 years? He said, oh, you'll still be broke, but you won't be miserable. You'll get used to it. See, too many times we're getting used to where we're at rather than trying to go where God wants us to go. How many of you heard the expression, dogs love bones? How many of you heard that, dogs love bones? How many believe dogs love bones? Okay. They don't. Dogs love steak. They settle for bones. What are you settling for? So the key is we acknowledge that they had empty nets, but we realize that's not their permanent state. That we realize that if we keep focusing and believing on increase, that we will go through that season. Instead of getting used to it, we go through it and begin to experience the increase that God wants us to have. It's kind of like dealing with loss. When my wife died and I'm dealing with all those emotional issues, a verse that helped me probably more than anything else was the verse, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the words that jumped out at me that I hadn't really focused on before was walk through. It doesn't say, yea, though I park. See, acknowledges we're going to have valleys, but the key to getting out of the valley is we keep walking. We keep believing. We keep believing that on the other side, there's another future for us. And yes, we go through that valley, but I'm enjoying another future. You know, I married a beautiful lady that I was their road manager, their singing group in the 1970s. We have a history together. She's loving, compassionate, caring. Between us now, we have 16 children, 8 married, 16 children, 21 grandchildren, and 3 great-grandchildren. I'm in a new season of increase. Because on the other side of the valley, there's another harvest, if we'll believe that. So the key is, don't accept the empty nets. Believe that on the other side, there's going to be net breaking, boat sinking, increase for you. God has that waiting. His name is El Shaddai, the God of more than enough. 3 keys today. If I could summarize the message of increase into 35 minutes, what I've just done, and deposit in your life, it'd be these 3 keys. Number 1, find the purpose of increase. It's to be a blessing to others. And part of that is acknowledging that God is your source. The employer isn't your source. Social Security isn't your source. God is your source. And God can bring blessings into your life even with a fixed income. You can have incredible blessings in your life. So number 1, put a purpose to your life, sustainability to your life, by determining that you are going to be a walking blessing machine. Number 2, recognize that Jesus taught and lived a life of increase. And number 3, recognize that it's all based upon what you do with that message and that information. That you, instead of figuring out how am I going to adjust to where I am, you make a decision that you're not going to stay where you are, that you're going to begin to experience increase. And as a result of that, your life is going to take on a whole different dimension. How many of you are willing to do that? How many of you would say, I'm not staying where I am. I'm believing for unexpected increase. Let's say this together. Father, I come to you today, and I thank you for your word. And your word clearly shows you want me to increase. So I make a decision today. I'm not staying where I am, but I am believing for increase. And I thank you now, and I praise you for the increase that is coming my way. Now thank him for that. Lord, we praise you for that. Yes, Lord. Glory to your name. Find 2 or 3 around you. Say, now I really believe in for it. Yeah. You're really believing for it. Yes. Say it like you mean it. One of my hobbies is collecting unusual newspaper stories. And I came across a story in Seattle Times. It was about an 11-year-old girl in a farming community in eastern Washington called Kennewick. And according to the story, this 11-year-old girl was playing in her yard. Now, if you're not familiar with that, eastern Washington, it's farming area. And she was playing in her yard a day when a tractor in a nearby field was plowing up to get ready for the next seed. And her ear began to hurt. And she went to her mother and said, "Mom, my ear hurts." And her mother looked, couldn't see anything wrong, and said, "Well, honey, I go up and play, and if it bothers you again, I'll take you to the doctor." And the pain went away. But a couple weeks later, it came back again. So according to the story, the mother took her to the doctor. The doctor shined a light in her ear. He thought he saw something there. So he gets these tweezers out, pokes around, and he takes out of her ear a germinating bean seed. Now, they theorize that when she was playing 2 weeks earlier, the tractor was going in the field, somehow a bean seed had become airborne, and it's still in her ear while she was playing. Now, here's a part of the story that was interesting. It said the mother and the daughter took that bean seed home, planted it in their garden, and it produced a harvest of beans. You might be wondering why I'm telling you that story, because it illustrates that what you put in your ears is going to grow. So if you want to have a harvest of increase, you've got to be growing increase. You'll notice when you came in today, we have a resource table here. I'm not here for the purpose of selling resources. If you'd be with me in some of our secular meetings, I have to have 8 or 12 people take care of our table. So I'm not here to sell resources. But I'm here to change lives. And the people whose lives that this ministry has changed, almost all of them are people that I drove around with, people I spent time with more than 35 minutes. Oh, yeah, there's the car. You found it. Yeah, that's the Bentley. Nice. Yeah, sucks the gas, but it sure is fun to drive. But one of the things I've discovered is that there are people that have spent time learning this teaching, the illustrations, going in greater depth. And so because of that, we have resources. In fact, we really have resources today. FedEx told us that our box of product might not arrive. And so we shipped the second box from the church I was at last Sunday. And both boxes arrived. So we have double inventory, so we're just going to cut the prices in half. And so anything on the table you want to get basically is going to be half price today, which is less than bookstore price. I'd recommend if you're really interested in change, and you really want to get increase and get it in the different areas of your life. This is our number one seller when I speak in the secular world. People just come back and say, "Give me the school." And we put together 6 different seminars of increase. We have the Great Multitude teaching, what I'm teaching you on today. 7 hours of teaching on Luke 5, the changes they had to make. 1 whole hour on biblical visualization. We have our teaching on time increase. You'll get to the point where time is more valuable than money. I'll give you an example. We're at the LA Coliseum last year with some friends. We were going to the first game ever between the Seattle Seahawks and the LA Rams because they were moved from St. Louis. And the game was sold out. It was packed. Traffic was horrible. We left enough time, but there wasn't enough time because of the mob. And we it's 15 to 20 minutes before kickoff, and none of us have eaten. And we go to the line, food lines are 20, 30 minutes long. We're going to miss the kickoff. The guys say, "What are we going to do?" And I said, "I'll take care of it. You guys go get the seats." So I walk over to the first lady in line. I said, "Hi." I said, "What are you ordering today?" She said, "I'm ordering 2 hot dogs and 2 Cokes." I said, "I'd like to buy your lunch." She said, "What?" I said, "I'd like to buy your lunch as long as you let me order mine at the same time." So I bought her lunch, bought it for the food for everybody else, and for $10, I got to see the kickoff. Why? Because, see, time was more valuable than money at that moment. Yeah. All right. Break free financially, break free of the bondage of debt, and how to create an environment where success increases, 7 habits of highly effective palm trees, how to flourish in life's desert seasons, and defense. Offense sells tickets, defense wins the games. How do you prevent loss? And those make up 6 seminars. Go to our website, $585 for this. It's half price today. 280 something, whatever it is. And it comes with downloads free. We're going to give you away for deals, how to save money and everything you buy. And if you want it, you can get it on a 3-payment plan. If you don't want the CDs, just the downloads, you can save another $50. So we have that available back there. We have just a Great Multitude Mindset, what I'm teaching you on today. That's on sale for $69. And we have our book, 101 Bible-Based Success Strategies. Powerful teaching. Every chapter is 2 pages long. If you get it on the download audio card for $37, the book is free, or the book is $20. And that we do take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, cash, check, airline for sales upgrades. Here's Randall wrote me and said, last year when you were here, our finances were tight. When I bought your School of Increase, my wife almost killed me. He said, but as a result of what we listened to and applied into our life, in 1 year's time, our income went up 400%. I bought the business that I was working for, and I already own 2 investment properties. His life changed when his thinking changed. We have just a couple extra minutes this service, so I want to share this. Do we? What? Oh, I didn't know that. I'm not on the 30-minute clock? Oh, I didn't have to talk so fast. Okay. Well, now I'm feeling better. Thank you. All right, so rather than go back and review, we'll just end with this one final thing, yeah. One of the things that we teach extensively in the Increase seminars is the concept of instinctive reactions, that we really have 2 separate mental operating systems that function and coordinate together. We have the conscious mind. The conscious mind calculates, figures out, compares, and it makes decisions on any subject area, and it sends it to the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind has one function and one function only: instinctively react to sight, sound, or sense without thinking about it. And it makes us incredible decision makers, because it's estimated that 90 to 95% of the decisions that you make every day, you don't think about. They're based upon thoughts previously. You pass it to the subconscious. He said, if you see this, you hear this, you feel this, this is how you're going to react. I don't have to think about it anymore. I've decided how to react. Instinctive reactions. Now, and the problem is, and I'm taking a whole hour seminar and giving it to you in 2 minutes, but the problem is that sometimes those instinctive reactions of ours are not information we've put down. It's from other people. We picked that up by outside sources. We picked up in our childhood. We picked up a religious background, whatever. And now we're instinctively making decisions that are destructive, that are limiting to us. And we're not thinking about them because they're instinctive. And if you want to find out what somebody's really like, you've looked for those opportunities when they act out of their instincts, not out of their head. Because that reveals to you what's on the inside. The Bible says, as a person thinketh in their heart, not their head, so are they. The instinctive reactions. So we have 5 of my own children. Sharon had 3, but my 5 kids, 4 daughters and a son. When our girls started dating, one of the first things I did before they got emotionally involved in it is, you know, we would invite them to a family dinner or get to know them. Because I feel one of the greatest jobs, is one of the most important jobs I had as a parent, was to be an inspector of potential people that are going out with my girls. I looked at myself as an inspector. And the earlier I get into that role, the better it is. And we would goal set with the girls and the kind of people that they wanted to marry and who they should be around. So it wasn't like dad was interfering. We were working as a team together to end up with the desired product. And then if it began to get serious, I would invite this young man to go on one of the trips with me. Not a trip like this where it's just so much fun, but on a trip like to one of the network marketing conferences where maybe there's a mob of people for hours at the table and they're having to respond and work with other people. And why would I do that? I wanted to get them out of their comfort zone. And I wanted to find out, here's how you find out what somebody's really like. Observe their behavior when they're in fear, where they're experiencing discomfort or sudden change, because the real person will come out. Oh, yes. And examine how they were. Some people rejected, some people they're married to my daughters today. Because I look for those instinctive reactions. Now, I all shared that with you to bring you to this moment. These fishermen have fished all night. They caught nothing. Jesus is telling them to go out. They catch the greatest catch of their life. Their boat's in danger of sinking. The instinctive reaction should have been, save our life, save our boat. It wasn't. Remember I said their instinctive reaction was, how can we be a blessing? Is there another boat around that's empty that we can help? Now this tells me something. This tells me that prior to this event, they were already givers. Because in times of fear, you react instinctively. So they weren't thinking about, is there another boat? It was instinctive, is there another boat? Because that was their reaction in time of fear and stress. Why is that important? For this reason. I believe there was a fishing fleet on the Sea of Galilee. I don't believe it was just two boats on weekend fishermen. This is what they did for a living. I believe there was a fleet there. That means there were other boats that were there that had fished all night. They were cleaning their nets. That means that Jesus was walking by other boats to this boat. What would cause him to walk by other boats to get to this particular boat? Because this boat was the boat of a giver. When you become a giver, Jesus will walk by other boats to get to your boat, because he knows your boat is going to be a blessing and make a difference in the lives of other people. And so when you become a giver, it's like there's a magnet that goes out. And you get ideas, you get strategies, you get blessings that come to you just because you're giving. When I was flying out yesterday, it was a rough trip coming here a little bit because I had to get up at 4:30 in the morning. I know some of you get up at 4:30 every day, so I'm not asking for sympathy, but I'm not used to that. Because when you speak at night a lot, you run your clock later. But I had to get up at 4:30 to catch the plane out of Palm Springs in California to get here. And with American Airlines, because I'm a top-level flyer, if they have an empty first-class seats, I can get upgraded even flying on a coach fare. I work the system. That's part of increase. Well, I pay for first class, and you can fly first class for coach. But it's tough getting first-class upgrades out of Palm Springs because there's so many wealthy people there that they sell the seats. But I got upgraded from Dallas to Orlando. And I was so looking forward to that because, man, they served this beautiful meal. It's wide seat. I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to arrive refreshed. And I walk on the plane, and I look up there, and there's Reverend Caleb Worley, who pastors Victory Christian Center here in Orlando. And he said, "Hi, Bob." He said, "Sarah, his wife, he said, she got upgraded to first class. She's in 1F, but I didn't clear. I'm in the back." He said, "Say hi to her when she comes." I said, "Okay." So I go in the restroom, and while I'm in the restroom, this voice says to me, "Give Caleb your seat." I didn't want to give him my seat. He didn't deserve my seat. You know, and I fought this a little bit, but I came out and then I looked and I said, "Oh, I don't have to give him my seat because she's in 1F. There's already somebody sitting in the seat next to her. So even if I gave my seat in 4, they wouldn't be together. So it doesn't make any difference. So I could go back to my seat." Then I said, "If it was your wife, what would you do? You'd ask the guy to trade." So I asked the guy to trade with me. He traded. Then I go all the way back to Caleb, back in row 25, and gave him my seat. Why'd I tell you that story? Not just because Bob Harrison's great and I give. I'll tell you why I gave him the seat. Caleb spoke for me at my Hawaii event 8 years ago. Did an incredible nugget. After the event, he gave me this beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous pen and pencil set. Burgundy, I can see it right now. Very few speakers give me gifts. I mean, that's okay. It's not expected. You know, you're booking a speaker. But they did this. When I was in the restroom and I was thinking about not giving him the seat, I saw that pin set. I'm serious. I saw the pin set. It was like a vision. And the third, remember what he did for you? Bless him back.
Amen.
See, when you become a giver, it doesn't cause you to have less than. That seed is in the ground. That seed is alive. It's growing. And at the right moment, God brings it to somebody remembrance and says, give him the first class seats or give him the Bentley. Whatever it might be. So when you catch that concept, you realize that giving is an increase principle. It's not a matter of I'm going to try and have less at 90%. It's a matter of God anoints the 90%. It's going to be more than if I had the 100, because the anointing's on the finances. Anyway, so we're going to receive the offering for the ministry now. If you want to have, do they have envelopes, or how are they going to do this? Yes, just hand out envelopes if you want to do it. Make it out to the, if you do checks, make it out to the church. They're going to give us a one-time gift. If you want to use a credit card, you can write it on there, or you can come out to the table and we can process it out there, whatever you want to do. If you're going to give $100, we have a gift for you, but whatever you give, just help us. We really appreciate it. I'm going to pray over the offering in just a moment. Because I believe this ministry not only has a teaching of increase, there is an anointing of increase, anointing of multiplication. We had one of our board members, Don Ostrom, who served with me on Kenneth Hagin's board for so many years. He was speaking at one of our conferences, and he said, I found something about this ministry. He said, hooking up to this ministry is like hooking up to, having an umbilical cord hooked up to increase. I love that one. Because it does give birth to ideas, creativity, divine appointments, unexpected things happening in your life. That's what you're planning this into. And you're helping that happen in other people's lives. You might say, well, what's that to me? Am I focusing on others? I really believe that God gives multiplication, quick multiplication as a result. There was a man that came to a meeting I was doing in Chicago. And he wrote me afterwards. And he told me that how he didn't even have the money to come to the meeting. His father-in-law had to pay for the meeting. He said, we planted a $100 seed. And after planting that $100 seed, he said, money began to come unexpected to come in. He said, within 30 days, I had an unexpected $1,000. He said, then I realized I also had $300 in my pocket, $1,300 unexpected. He said, I believe it was because I obeyed and planted that seed. Are you ready? Father, I just thank you for this incredible church that dares to speak the word of faith and release faith into people's lives. And Lord, your word clearly says what we sow, we will reap. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. And Lord, I believe there's an anointing on this seed. And as a result of that, there's a harvest that's going to come into their lives. And Father, I thank you and I praise you in advance for the unexpected increase as a result of the seed that's being planted today. And I thank you for that. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful being with you. The floor to them. Half price, didn't I? No. Oh, my God. I forgot. Did I mention Florida?
Yes.
I thought I did. 2 days, the end of October, half price?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, if you buy the School of Increase, I'm going to give you free registration. So that will be another bonus. I'll give you something free just to plant that seed into your life. Okay.
Amen.